This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Good Shepherd, lead us into all those places where we will discover your hope, waiting to nourish and restore our famished souls. Good Shepherd, lead us into all those places where we may have the joy of filling the emptiness of others with your goodness. Good Shepherd, lead us into all those places where deeds of kindness and hands overflowing with mercy speak so much louder than platitudes. Good Shepherd, lead us into your kingdom this day and always. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
And happy Good Shepherd Sunday. Even though the weather is bad. Every fourth Sunday of Easter, with our 3 years of the lectionary cycle, we are given a section of what is called the Good Shepherd Discourse in John's Gospel. And of course, today we get chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, where there's really three different images that Jesus gives us of himself as the gatekeeper, the gate itself, and the Good Shepherd. Incredible nuances of meaning in all of that for us. This particular passage in John's Gospel comes to us in what is called the first part of the book, which is the book of signs. The signs of who Jesus is by the miracles and by what Jesus says. And then the second half of the book is that book of glory that has to do with those events connected with the last week of Jesus' life, his passion, death, and resurrection. And this particular section is part of the I Ams, not the dog food, but the I Ams that Jesus says. He says several different I Ams throughout this section of the gospel. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine, and of course, the three today. I am the gatekeeper, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd was an important image for the people of Jesus' day because it was something common that they saw. It's hard to describe what that common image would be for us today with, I don't know, perhaps the manager at the grocery store or something, some profession, something that we would see on a daily basis. And so this image, even going back to the time of the call of Moses as a shepherd, from the time of the call of David, who was a shepherd and gets credit for writing that beautiful Psalm 23 that we read, sang. And we have all of these different images throughout the Old Testament of shepherds, both good and bad. There is discussion at some point about these people who have sort of been mean to Israel as being the evil, bad shepherds. And this image is the one that Jesus is bringing out. And we're going to talk a lot about being in liminality, between things today. But one of the things that this gospel is between is two very important stories in John's gospel that we heard recently. Because the one that comes immediately before this is one we heard during Lent, which is the healing of the man born blind. Remember that? And then immediately after this section, we're going to get into the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Two incredibly important stories. We heard them both during our Lenten observance this year. And both of those stories, as sort of bookends, tell us about who Jesus really is. And of course, with the healing of the man born blind, remember, they thought he was guilty of some sin, as if somebody was born with sin, all that crazy stuff. And it is the religious leaders who end up being the ones who are blind. And so in this story, Jesus is trying to get them to understand who he truly is. He's got power over sin, because they thought the guy was a sinner. He's got power over sickness, because he healed him. He's got power even over death, because he brings Lazarus back to life. So all sorts of things going on here. But this shepherd image is a beautiful one. It stands for all of those different ways that God protects us. We do an exercise when we go on pilgrimage, whether with adults or with youth, where we talk about what the image of shepherd in Psalm 23 would have meant. We sort of expand upon it. And I invite everyone to reflect on their own life and to write their own version of Psalm 23 with an image of somebody or something that sort of embodies that image of God as they found it in David and Jesus' day as a shepherd. If you recall, we did this last summer with our youth pilgrims. Some of you perhaps were not here because it was the middle of the summer when we did it. And so I invited them when we zoomed back from Lindisfarne in the United Kingdom to share the versions of Psalm 23 that they had written with using images that made sense for them. And as teenagers are, they were incredibly creative. But when you think about the images that they came up with, they were very powerful. And yes, we're going to play the video. And the first one is Josh Port. And yes, he does say, "The Lord is my hairdresser." Let's see if we can watch those versions of Psalm 23 from our youth.
Good morning, St. Joe's. My name is Josh Port. The Lord is my hairdresser. I shall not be ruffled. She makes me sit up in the padded barber chair. She washes my hair. She leads me in hair care and life care. Even when I arrive with messy hair, I have no fear because I know you will fix it. Your scissors shape my hair to be nice and manageable. You prepare a trim and a brush back better than anyone else. You anoint my head with moisturizing oil. A calm and refreshing feeling overflows. Surely, you will make my hair look nice all the days of my life. I will dwell in your salon forever.
Hi, I'm Bella Chetto, and here's my psalm. The Lord is my best friend, Alyssa. She makes me excited when reading a book. She refuels my imagination, helps me find the right words to express myself. Even when I'm plagued with anxiety, she pushes me forward. You are with me. Your caring heart and your smile enlighten me and comfort me. You pick me up in the face of all of our enemies, a text of encouragement and a hug for good times. You drop everything to be with me. Smiles and laughter will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in our friendship forever. Thank you. Amen.
The Lord is my family. I shall not want. They lead me to a successful life. They guide me in the right direction. Even if there are hard or difficult days, my family is there for me. My family gives me advice and the encouragement I need. You take me to a place of safety when there are hurricanes in my life. You give me words of encouragement. I feel enlightened. In the future, I will have success and have a good job. I shall feel enlightened by your presence for the rest of my life.
Hi, I'm Maddie Hill, and the Lord is my dog. He motivates me to be more active. He allows me to find healing. He leads me outside to play. Though I have a lot going on behind the scenes, I feel no evil. For you are with me. Your cuddles ground me when I am upset, and they comfort me. He is by my side and gives me hope. You nudge your head on me to get me back up. The love you give me makes my cup overflow. I have an endless supply. Surely he will look after me until his last day. I will dwell in your love forever.
This is Anthony Sarda. The Lord is my father. He teaches me. He makes good food. He guides me to be a good person. Even when I feel alone, I fear no evil because you are with me. Your memory comforts me. You guide me when others wouldn't. You tell me I can do things I never imagined I could. I have more than I could ever dream. Surely, I'll never forget what you have taught me. I will hang out in the mountains forever.
Morning, Sherry Thomas. The Lord is my travel agent. He has led me to holy and thin places. The ancient saints inspire me to follow their faith and courage. You are with me. You are my conscience for making the right choices. Your presence is in my mind, comforts me. Even though I live in different times, I will remember the saints' faith and will look to you for guidance all the days of my life. Amen.
We can cut it there, please.
So thank you for letting us interrupt your worship this morning. We feel like we are with you in a very special way. We will be spending this week on Lindisfarne and the surrounding area. You can continue to watch our blog for updates as we are able to post them. And we look forward to our return next Sunday night. And on Sunday, August the 7th, we will have the welcoming back of the pilgrims, where we'll be sharing the collects that sort of symbolize our entire pilgrimage experience. So we hope that you'll be able to join us then on August the 7th. So in the meantime, a great thank you to Mark and Mary Fleeson at the Lindisfarne Scriptorium, and know that we all love you very, very much. Bye.
Pay no attention to the man on the screen. That was from last year. But pay attention to the words of our youth. Who is Jesus for you? Is Jesus that comforting hairdresser? A family member? The loyalty of a favorite friend or even dog? What is that image that comes across for you? Jesus makes it clear today there are so many different ways that he wants to be there for us and is there. We talk so often about the shepherd looking out, protecting the sheep. But today I want to talk a little bit more about this idea of gate and gatekeeper that Jesus is for us. Perhaps in modern terms, one of the ways of looking at it is that Jesus is my bouncer. He's going to let the people in that are good, and he's going to keep the people out that aren't going to help me. But in a real way, there is this image of that gate and gatekeeper that is important for us. Because many times in our lives, we stand at the threshold. We stand underneath that door frame that, I don't know if it's true or not, but when you live in earthquake zones, they tell you if an earthquake hits while you're in the house, stand in the door frame because that's the most solid part of the construction. This is where Jesus is. Jesus is there even at those times when we're not sure where God is calling us to go. That many times I might treat it as a temptation to go back, where in fact I'm being called to go forward, and at times I can have the temptation of going forward, where perhaps God is just wanting me to stay right where I am introspectively right now. There is that beautiful image that we get in that second letter from Peter, where he's talking about suffering. He's talking about you can do the right things and still you suffer for it. But he adds in, but remember, there was somebody that did that before you. And when you're in that threshold and reflecting on it, why do I want to keep doing that? Because it just gives me more trouble, suffering, And we forget about that whole thing we talked about before with suffering leads to endurance, leads to character, and all of that. But over and above that, as we stand in that threshold, there is Jesus with us. So think back on your life when you have been in that threshold, and yet Jesus was there to comfort, to support, and somehow enable each one of us to know, am I called to stay right where I am in this, as we say in pilgrimage terms, liminality, or perhaps to step back or to step forward? Father Richard Rohr, great Christian theologian, writes this: liminal space is an inner state and sometimes an outer situation where we can begin to think and act in new ways. It is where we are betwixt and between, having left one room or stage of life but not yet entered the next. We usually enter liminal space when our former way of being is challenged or changed. Perhaps we lose a job, we retire, or we lose a loved one, or there's an illness, the birth of a child, or a relocation. It is a graced time, but often does not feel graced in any way. In such space, we are not certain or in control. Liminal spaces, when it comes to God, should be introspective places rather than unsettling places. To God, liminal is a word that is a threshold between one stage of life to another. And it is in these liminal spaces that genuine newness and the bigger world can be revealed to us. The Lord is my gate and my gatekeeper, there with us. But there's one other thing. We are called to be that for each other. That God loves us so much that he wants us to get in on this action. You know, in our baptismal promises, when we get past all of those creedal statements about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the first question we're asked is this: will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? Sound familiar? It's the exact words that we heard in our first reading today from Acts. Those who had been baptized devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Why is that important? Because what follows for the apostles and disciples is meant to follow for all of us as we support one another. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. We are called to enable each other to do that. Wonderful words from the author William Dowles on this subject. Like Jesus, we stand at the gate for each other. Parents for children trying to grow up, children for parents struggling to find themselves, friends and colleagues for each other. As a gate for each other, we wait and watch, usually uncertain and often ambivalent about whether to close or open the gate, yearning to call each other back or encourage each other out. The new revelation, second coming, light through the awful cracks of our lives, may be to ease up a bit on just believing in Jesus, let up some on just worshiping Jesus, and know that you are the only Jesus God has to be the gate for the people in your life. None of us are very good at being gates for ourselves. Look around your world, your dinner table, your office, these pews, your mirror. It may be that in the terrible silence, we can find one another. Finally, risk discovering in the darkness that we are the very ones God is calling to help make abundant life happen for each other. As we rejoice that we have a gatekeeper, and a good shepherd, we pray for the ways that God might be calling us to be that for each other. Amen.